I want you to look again tonight. Notice verse 3 of this text. You find that there are two songs here, speaking of music and hymns and songs. These are both songs of freedom that all of these saints of God will be singing one day up in heaven. This is, of course, future. Verse 3 says, "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." And again, two songs are mentioned here in Revelation 15 that are very similar, both in composition and in the circumstances that inspired each of these songs. The first one, for example, is the song of Moses. It is a song, as most of you know, that is recorded in Exodus 15, immediately after he and all of the Israelites were delivered. And they were delivered from Pharaoh, a wicked man, and his army. The second song is called, in this text, the Song of the Lamb. And this song is recorded here in verse 3 and verse 4 of our text, immediately after chapter 14, where tribulation saints are delivered from the Antichrist and his army. So I'm sure you see the connection between the Song of Moses and the Song of the Lamb. One was sung by the Red Sea. The other, it says here, is sung by the Sea of Glass. Both of them, beloved, are songs of freedom. Both of them are songs of deliverance from bondage, from tyranny, and ungodly leadership. You know, there is little worse in the world than for a people who know God and who love God to dwell in a land of ungodly leadership. So it was for a man by the name of Moses and God's people. And so it will be for multitudes of people during the tribulation period. And so it is right now in the world for millions and millions of people as well, including, increasingly, the United States of America. In both cases, however, in these two cases, there was a redeemer, and there is and was a deliverer. And you know, the words of both of these great songs are also words that God has placed in our mouths to be sung from our hearts and our lips. These are blessed words. These are blessed truths that every believer here ought to be singing from their heart, and especially so in an increasingly darkening and ungodly society. Most of you at some point in tonight's service held in your hands what we call a hymnal or a hymn book. These contain, of course, some of the great, great songs and hymns of the Christian faith. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service tonight, in recent years, hymnals have been derided by many people, and especially by those who somehow feel that hymnals are outdated. And of course, what's really outdated in the minds of some people, not the hymnal so much as the lyrics within the hymns. So that instead of familiar titles, they have sort of softened them and changed them and maybe even made them completely different. They might be more comfortable with titles such as Take My Life and Let Me Be. They might sing that. Or 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Me. Or in some churches these days, She Leadeth Me. And we could go on and on. There was a man in Tennessee whose mother was a shut-in. Faithful Christian lady, she loved to attend church, and especially she loved to hear all the great songs of the faith. And her son got a great idea to buy her an expensive parrot, which as trained could actually sing the songs in the church hymnal. And so he bought that parrot, a lot of money, for a whole year. He and the church members in their church would take turns, and they taught that thing, trained to sing 62 different hymns. It could speak in four different languages. What a perfect gift to a poor shut-in widow in the hills of Tennessee. And shortly after she got the gift, she sent her son a letter. It said, "Dear Milton, you always know what your mother loves. Thank you, son. That chicken was delicious." Brother Sam told me that joke years ago. And he wrote his mother back and said, "Mother, that bird was expensive and rare. It could speak four languages." And she wrote him back and said, "Well, son, should have said something." Those hymns went down apparently with the rice in her home. But you'll notice in the Bible, these are, in addition to the Psalms, many examples of hymns. In fact, the Bible teaches us in Colossians that we are commanded to sing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. There are hymns in the Bible that were sung by the people of God from their heart, including this tremendous song here in Revelation chapter 15. It is the national anthem of heaven itself. Tomorrow is Veterans Day, as you know, and I hope you'll take time to think about and be grateful. To me, Veterans Day has always been a reminder of one of the most wonderful and yet one of the most misunderstood words in the English language. It is the word freedom. In 1776, on a hot July 4th afternoon in Philadelphia, that word freedom was a word worth risking life and a fortune for. It was a word that from that moment on would forever change the destiny of human civilization. On the other hand, some 237 years later, the same word is being misused, really maligned. It's used as an excuse for murder in a mother's womb. They have a freedom, they say. It's used for pornography and homosexuality, calling it a freedom to choose or a freedom of expression, freedom even of speech, they say. Again, freedom is a wonderful, but especially today, a very misused word. And so it's not unusual for the very ones today who use the word the most, who scream the word, in MSNBC and other places, to understand it absolutely the least. It is not unusual that the same people who cry out for freedom or who demand freedom and express their freedom in vile ways the most to be in the greatest bondage of all. The worst slavery of all slavery, ladies and gentlemen, is the slavery to self and to sin. And so when we read at the beginning of the Bible, yes, at the very beginning as you noted, and here at the end of the Bible, that there are two songs, they are bookends of the Word of God, they are both songs of freedom to be sung, we take notice. Because here, beloved, we have the truth of God in the Word of God about what freedom really means and what it means to be free from bondage. You see, Moses was a captive. Moses is delivered from the wicked and murderous pagan hand of Pharaoh. And this here in the Bible, Moses' song is a song that he sings. These saints are delivered from the wicked and murderous hands of the pagan Antichrist. And this here is the song, it says, that they sing. And ladies and gentlemen, it's in these songs that we behold some wonderful truths. And you know, I've said this before, you might as well learn the words of this hymn, because if you belong to Christ, you too will be singing them one day when you get to glory. And the truth is, in doctrine and in truth and in belief, we ought to be singing them with conviction in our hearts even today. They are songs of liberty that are inspired by God Himself. What are they? I want you to notice, first of all, number one, it's a song about recognition. Look at chapter 15 and verse 3. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." These are the words of the tribulation saints, a glimpse given of heaven and glory just before God is about to reveal the greatest judgments on this earth. So now I want you to listen, having read that, to what Moses sang. Here it is. I'm going to read it to you in Exodus 15. Same chapter, different book. "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord." This is the one John is referring to in Revelation. "He spake, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he's thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He's become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, and doing wonders?" Ask your question. Why did Moses, and why did these tribulation saints sing this song, in many ways identical, of recognition for the holiness and the justice and the truth of God? Think about it for a moment. Why this song? Why do they sing, "Just and true are thy ways. Great and marvelous are thy works, for thou alone art holy." Why that refrain? I can tell you why, because in both cases, the leaders that they were under claimed to have more wisdom than God. The leaders that they were under claimed to be demigods themselves. Even the spiritual leaders behind them could not be trusted for all of their evil devices. And far from being a time of freedom, ladies and gentlemen, when the wicked are in authority, the Bible says the people mourn. I'll tell you why we can sing tonight. And I'll tell you why we can sing with joy and faith and courage songs of freedom. Because regardless of the crooked and the deceitful and the oppressive and the unjust leaders and people in this world and society, our God is just and our God is true and our God is holy. The leader of this nation has admitted apparently to telling lies to this country. I've been fascinated because in the last 3 days I've been reading articles one after another written from the left. And they all have the same theme. It doesn't matter that he lied. Who cares that he lied? What difference does it make that he lied when the final product is still going to be better for the American people? I can tell you the difference it makes. Our children need to know that our leaders shouldn't lie to get something passed. And I'll tell you the difference it makes in light of this text. Our God cannot lie. Hollywood, our media, the NEA, our newest age religion today, saying that you are God or there is no God or I am God, be free to do what you think and feel as you please. We are all gods, are spewing these lies. I remember a few years ago, I was behind a car, a military trail, it had a bumper sticker. And the bumper sticker said, "I am God." That used to be a big refrain a long time ago. Remember Shirley MacLaine and her book and all that business? "I am God." On the other side, it had one of those Darwin symbols, you know, the fish with the feet and whatnot. So here was a person somewhat confused, a mystic humanist. So I wanted to see, obviously, who, you know, and what God looked like. So I was fortunate enough to pull up next to her at the red light, and I rolled my window down, and I looked over, and there was this woman who said she was God. She was at the red light, and she had a map completely opened up, trying to figure out, apparently, where she was. Her car was dinged up on the front panel and dinged up on the back panel. And I was good, but I was tempted to roll my window down and honk my horn because I had a lot of things I wanted to ask her. Like, why does God drive a beat-up Ford? Amen, Tony? And how come God can't find her way to Lake Park? And so on. You know, beloved, as much as I love Beacon Baptist Church, and I do, and I love you here, as much as I'm honored and have been honored to serve as your pastor, a fellow servant here in the body of Christ, and I am. I have to tell you, though, I'm glad, I'm relieved, I'm thrilled that you're not God. And I'm certainly glad that President Obama is not God. And I'm glad the lady with the map on Military Trail is not God. Amen? You see, the God we serve doesn't need therapy or plastic surgery or legal advice. Who is like unto thee, Moses sang? Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Nobody. He never lies. In other words, Moses is saying, thank you. Thank you, dear God, that you are not like Pharaoh. And they say, these saints in tribulation time, thank you, dear God, they cry out, that you are not like unto Satan or unto Caesar or unto the Antichrist. Thank you for who you are. And that's a song of freedom that you and I must sing in this day, in this age, a song of recognizing who God is. You know, that's why we're not going to get rid of the hymnal. Because the vast majority of the hymns in this book don't focus on me, my felt needs, who I am. I want to feel. I want to be. If you'll look at verse 3, and I've done this. I don't even know when I did it. I just see I did it in highlighter, maybe a long time ago. It says, thy works, thy ways, thou King of saints, verse 4, thy name, Thou, before thee, thy judgments. In other words, these hymns, like most of the hymns, the great hymns of the faith, talk about God, not about us. And in fact, the only way they talk about us is in the context of what God has done for us. Again, in chapter 15 of the book of Exodus, we read these words. Listen to them. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him in habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Verse 13, thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. It says in our text tonight, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. One's at the beginning and one's at the end. I have a question. Why the song of the Lamb? Well, that brings us to the second thing in the text. It was also, number two, a song of redemption. I read just a moment ago what Moses said. You've redeemed us from this place. The song of Moses, the song of the Lamb. Why is it called the song of the Lamb? We sang again at the beginning of the service. Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, it was the blood of the Lamb that paid for their redemption in Exodus. But it was the blood of the Lamb of God that paid for the redemption of these saints in the tribulation period and for every saint in this room tonight. They were slaves in Egypt. We were slaves to sin. And I want to remind you right now tonight, beloved, there is no such thing, and I want the young people to hear this very carefully, there is no such thing as freedom unless it includes freedom from sin. Women want freedom to choose their abortions because they're in bondage to something else. Men want freedom to pay and the freedom of the press to buy their trash because they're in bondage to something else. Slaves to the desires of their own hearts and minds. Sodomites in this country increasingly are demanding more and more rights, not realizing they're only increasing their very bondage. If the Son shall make you free, Jesus said, ye shall be what? Free indeed. You know, one of our presidents in his inaugural address said these famous words about freedom. He said, quote, let every man know whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty. It was a great speech. It was given by JFK. And of course, those are words of resolve and pledged sacrifices for the freedoms that we have in America. But I have to tell you something. As a Christian, as Christians, we didn't pay any sacrifice for our freedoms and our freedom from sin. We didn't pay any price or bear any burden or such thing to be delivered from our own spiritual bondage. Nope, Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. In fact, without him, tonight we would all still be captive to Satan and to sin. In Revelation 15, look again at verse 2, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image, and over his mark and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. You see, folks, all of the others on the face of the earth, if you know this story, if you know what's coming, what's happening, they had no choice. They took the mark, they took the number, they bought the lie of the Antichrist who promised liberty but delivered bondage. And even though these saints were persecuted, even though these saints were greatly maligned, they still, the Bible says, had victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over his number. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so we sing about redemption. We sing, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed by his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. In Revelation 5, we read that all of God's people are going to gather around the throne. And when they do that, when they gather around the throne, it says, they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood. There's that hymn about the blood of Christ again. The only difference is it's not in here, it's up there. And it's in here. And so they sung this new song, Thou hast redeemed us by Thy blood to God out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. I'm thankful tonight for every drop of American blood that has won the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. And make no mistake about this, the freedoms we have to preach and to meet tonight are afforded us by the sacrifice of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of mostly young American lives. And I'm grateful. But I'm also acutely aware that far greater, is the sacrifice of one whose blood has bought my spiritual freedom. And make no mistake, as Gordy sang a moment ago, but for the grace of God, for God's grace, we would all be slaves to sin, to Satan, to the flesh, were it not for Christ. Every one of us in this room tonight could be in bondage to pride or alcohol or drugs or greed. All of us would be slaves still to sin. It was a song of recognition. It was a song of redemption. And then finally, number three, you'll notice, it was also a song of resolution. And this is what I want to leave you with, chapter 15, verse 3 again. It says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, they sang both songs, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Isn't it kind of strange for a song of freedom and liberty to use words like servant and king? That's what Moses said in his song, wasn't it? I'm the servant. Because after all, you don't think of servants as being free, do you? How can servants be free? What do kings ever have to do with liberty? Because the kings in this world have all been known for their bondage and not for their liberty. And yet it says in these wonderful songs of freedom that we are servants. Are you offended by that? It says that we are servants to the king. It is a resolution to yield ourselves willingly to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, why? Because, folks, when this world runs its course, and it is running its course, everyone else in this world will know what the righteous have always known and what they know right now. That true freedom is not found in a democracy. That true freedom is not found in a republic or a democratic republic. True freedom is not found in socialism or in fascism. True freedom is only found in a monarchy. And the only monarchy it is found in is the one that recognizes Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the world can go ahead and scoff, demand their rights and freedoms and liberties if they want. We will not have this man to rule over us, they say of Christ. They can go ahead and live their lives independent. And you young people, and again, in this room, they say, independent of any higher authority, considering themselves their own man or their own woman. Go ahead. Believe the lie that happiness rests in doing their own thing, but for me, we will serve in my house the Lord, it says, because He alone has the true key to liberty, to freedom. He alone is always just and true and holy. So that the only real question for us tonight is, what song are we singing? Do we recognize the truth of who God is, and doing so, are we resolved determined to surrender, to bow our knee. Every knee shall bow, but every knee can bow now. To bow our knee and submit and then follow our King. You know, the Lord Jesus came to this earth from His throne in heaven. His throne to this earth. The King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, from His throne to this lowly earth. He was clothed, the Bible says, in a garment of flesh. And in that place, He gave a message to His own as simple as two words. Follow me. That's all He asks. Is follow me. And for 2,000 years, the sons and daughters of the King have been singing with faith who He is and following Him according to this book. And one day, as one great and glorious choir by the sea of glass, we will sing this very song in heart, in mind, in faith, in doctrine, in truth. May we sing it today. May we submit today. Instead of just wringing our hands over the kings of the earth and the little antichrists and the many antichrists that shall come before the true antichrist comes, may we sing of our King and submit to His authority in our lives. Father, bless the invitation for these who've asked for prayer. I pray all of us, God. When we walk out of these doors tonight, we will rejoice. We will be grateful and thankful and happy, courageous and bold, because we know that we serve one King ultimately. We have one authority, and just and holy and true are Your ways. May we understand the words of the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, and understanding them, embrace them in our souls. We'll give You the praise for that. As You increase our faith in Jesus' precious name, amen.